We have a saying in Ontario, you might have it here as well, concerning the month of March. It said if it comes in like a lamb, it goes out like a lion. Now this is the last day of March, isn't it? Did it come in like a lion? Isn't that amazing? It works down here too. Yeah. Good, good. Well, those two terms, interestingly enough, are two descriptive terms about Jesus Christ. Did you ever think of that? The Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in the Scriptures as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sins. But he is also spoken of as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, that's a reference not to his sacrifice, his gentleness, his innocence, but a term that relates to his judgment. And we read that this morning in our scripture reading. He is the judge. Now, it's interesting, while you're walking here on earth in this life, if you meet him as the Lamb, then you'll never meet him as the judge. Because as the Lamb, he takes your judgment away. He took it on himself, the substitute. But if you reject him as the Lamb, a sacrifice for you, then you will meet him as the judge. And we talked about that one evening this week, didn't we? The great white throne. Well, this morning I'd like to encourage you to consider starting over wherever you are. I mean, everybody likes to start over. What man is not among us this morning that occasionally goes into that workshop or that garage and says, oh man, I got to start over here. I got to clean this place up. I mean, I can only pile it so high, and I got to get out there. And isn't it something kind of nice about pulling it all out and then putting it all back where it goes and cleaning it up and getting it in its right place? You kind of enjoy going in there again, don't you? And how about you ladies? And I know my wife is like this. Ever so often comes the cupboard doors wide open and everything is all over the place and she's starting over. She's cleaning the cupboards and cleaning the pantry and cleaning the closets, and we call it spring cleaning sometimes, don't we? But it's a fresh start, and scrub everything down, get it all in its right place. I mean, even teenagers about every 6 months clean their room, you know? Sure. Starting over. Spring cleaning. Well, I was asked 26 years ago, this coming August, this question by a total stranger. Joe, how would you like to start over in your life? Oh boy, I don't know. I was 25 and I thought, you mean I got to go through this again? I don't know if I'd like to start over. But I knew that I needed and I wanted a new life. I would like a new lease on life, a new start. And by the grace of God, I had a new start that very day. So if you're here this morning and you want more out of life than you're presently getting, if you're tired of an undisciplined life that is not productive, if you're tired of how your family lives, or we could say in some cases, how it exists perhaps, if you're ready for a change for the better, if you want something real, if you know you're not fulfilled and you want to be fulfilled, then I'm going to ask you to consider this morning starting over. Just a brand new start. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've come from, a brand new start. Someone put it like this: God doesn't wipe the slate clean. God throws the slate away. You get a brand new start. Another person said, did you know that today is the first day of the rest of your life? You can start over today. The poet put it like this. He came to my desk with quivering lip. The lesson was done. Have you a new leaf for me, dear teacher? I've spoiled this one. I took his leaf all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one, all unspotted. Then into his tired heart I smile. Do better now, my child. I went to the throne with trembling heart. The year was done. Have you a new year for me, dear master? I've spoiled this one. He took my year, all soiled and blotted, and he gave me a new one, all unspotted. Then into my tired heart he smiled. Do better now, my child. Well, this morning, I'm going to break everyone in this congregation up into three categories. I think you'll find that you fit. And whatever category you're in this morning, you will have to evaluate that category and your needs. I'll break it up into these three groups. First of all, some of you are real Christians. I mean, you're just, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about we've got in God we trust on the money here and we're Christians because we live in the United States, okay? We might have in God we trust on the money, but we got me first in our hearts, most of us, okay? But we're not talking about where we live or what culture we're in. You know what I mean when I say a real Christian. You've seen yourself as a sinner before a holy God. You've gone to the only Savior. You met him as the Lamb. And you'll never have to meet him as the lion that will judge you for your sins. And so you are here this morning. And then the second group may be someone here this morning that says, well, I think I'm a Christian. I'm not exactly sure, but I think I am. And then the third group will be someone said, well, I know I'm not. I'm not a Christian. I'm not really interested. I just came along because a friend brought me this morning. They've been putting pressure on me all week, so I finally gave in. I'm here. And I'm really not looking for anything here this morning except 12 o'clock. And by the time it gets to 12 o'clock, I'm hoping this fellow will let me out of here. See? And so that's okay. We're glad you're here. But let me speak to you briefly about these three groups of people. First of all, the real Christian. Well, you know in your heart that you are a real Christian. You know that things have been settled between you and your God, but at the same time, you know you haven't been letting the Lord be Lord. The biggest room in the world is a room for improvement. Did you know that? And there's no one here this morning that says, I read my Bible too much, I pray too much, I go to meetings too much, I witness too much. I mean, I just can't get on with life. I'm living for the Lord too much. There's no one here this morning. On the contrary, most of you would say to me, I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't attend meetings enough. I don't witness enough. And so perhaps, just perhaps, you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need a fresh start. You need to do some house cleaning this morning. You need to remember that you were taken as a brand from the burnings. You've forgotten you've been purged from your old sins. You've somehow forgotten who you were before the Lord Jesus ever saved you. The miry clay, the horrible pit. And really, you have left your first love. You left your first love. I got to pull up the corner of the sheet of my life here just a little bit and I'll let you peep in, okay? I was about 4 years in full-time work, preaching, teaching. I was gone for a week of meetings and I came home and I said to my wife, I don't know what's wrong. I said, I'm over here telling people how to have the abundant life, the joyful, victorious Christian life, and I don't know where the Lord is in my own life. to my horror and surprise, she said, I feel the same way. And so we got before the Lord that day, and he took us right to Revelation chapter 2, and we read it. We had left our first love. The Lord didn't leave us. We left him. The point was this. When I first got saved, I understood salvation and how great it was and how much the Lord loved me and how much he delivered me from, I couldn't wait to serve him. And it wasn't because I had to. It was because I wanted to. But somewhere along the line, somewhere through more Bible study and more growing, somehow the zeal for knowledge was greater than the zeal for love, and one outweighed the other. And then I got in a rut, and I thought, well, if the Lord really is pleased with me, then I'll be doing lots of things. And if I'm not doing lots of things, then he won't be pleased with me. And I got on this merry-go-round of, now the only way I can make favor with God is by serving him. Well, let me say something this morning. That's a bad rut to get into. He's not interested in your hands, Christian, nor your feet or your mouth, or all of your talents, all of your abilities, or what you can do. He's interested in your heart. You see, if he has my heart, he's got everything else. But I can give him my hands without giving him my heart. And I can give him my energy and my strength and be motivated by the wrong thing. We've all heard the little cliche, haven't we? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ. Not myself, not my reputation, not my ministry, not the success of my ministry, not for my wife, not for my assembly, not for others, but for Christ. And sometimes Christians just get away from that. And that thing that motivated them, that appreciation for the love of God poured out in the person of the Lord Jesus by his blood at Calvary, lost its significance in my life. My wife and I got on our knees that day and we said, Lord, forgive us. We've got our lives all out of order, and we had to go back and establish that first love in our life again. I don't know if you're one of those Christians this morning that feels that everything is okay or not, but maybe it's time for you to restart. And the way you do that is by simply going to the throne of grace and obtaining mercy. And you say, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've neglected you. Lord, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing as a believer in the Lord Jesus. I've let too much of the world get into my life. And I'm entangled with it. And it's pulling me down. But I don't want it to pull me down anymore. And you confess your sins. And the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And this morning I want you to consider a new start if you need it, if you're here this morning as a believer. Secondly, how about those who may be here this morning who say, well, I think I'm a Christian. Like I want to be. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I do good. I'm a good provider for my family. I'm a good mother. I'm a good person. I said a little prayer one time. I asked Jesus into my heart. I think I'm okay. I hope I've done the right thing. But if somebody really put me on the spot, I mean, if you said, if you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm not exactly sure what I'd tell him. And if someone said, if you died tonight, are you absolutely sure you'd go to heaven? I'd have to say, well, I'm not absolutely sure. I want to know that, but I'm not absolutely sure. Well, let me ask you to consider a new start of putting away any doubts or fears or anything that you don't understand. And just listen to me just for a minute. Let's see if we can clear it up. Because you are obviously here this morning because you're interested and you want to be saved. You want to know your sins forgiven. You have a home in heaven. I was in the public school system, I think I told you this or told somebody this week. For 9 years, my wife and I had the privilege of teaching in the public school and the Bible. Okay, half an hour with each class right in the classroom. We did that for 9 years in Northern Ontario. I was walking down the hall in one of the larger schools that we taught in, and I knew the principal quite well. His name was Mr. Wilson. And he came along in the hallway and he said, he said, excuse me. He said, Joe, he said, could I see you in my office for a few minutes? And I said, sure. And so we passed the secretary. And as we passed her, he said to her, now, I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want to have any phone calls, or just please don't disturb us. We went into his office. He closed the door. He said, he sat down. I sat down. He said, Joe, I don't know if you can help me or not, but he said, I'm not sure about my salvation. But Walter is. Walter's sure. Well, who's Walter? Well, Walter. Walter's the custodian. Walter's the guy that shovels the snow and cuts the grass and mops the floors and waxes the gym and paints the fence. And Walter, Walter's sure, he said. Well, I knew Walter, and I knew Walter was sure. Walter attended the little chapel that I attended, and I knew that Walter was a real Christian, and Walter was sure of his salvation. He wasn't the kind of a guy that just pushed it on you, but you watched him. You knew there was something different about Walter. Well, here now is the principal of this school. He belongs to a mainline denominational church, has been there for 37 years or something like that. And he says, I'm not sure about my salvation. Can you help me? Well, I talked to him several times before. I really didn't think he was that interested. But this morning, we opened the scriptures, and for the next hour and a half, I shared with him how to become a Christian. And at the end of that time, I simply said to him, Mr. Wilson, look, I don't know any more to tell you. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ came as your substitute. The Bible says that you're a sinner, and because you are a sinner, you can't go to heaven. No sin can enter into heaven. So you have to figure out a way to get rid of your sin. And the Lord Jesus came to pay the penalty of your sin, the separation between you and God. And if you accept Him as your Savior, that He died for you, buried for you, rose for you, coming for you, the Bible says your sins will be forgiven and you can be sure that you're a Christian. So I asked him this question. I said, was there ever a time in your life when you made an intelligent, rational, logical decision based on the Word of God to receive Christ as your Savior? He said, well, there was a time when my father was very sick, and I was in the room with him in the hospital, and he was dying. And he said, I prayed. And I said, oh, God, save my father. Don't let him die. And as I was praying and as I was talking to God, he said, I felt the very presence of God in that room. It was so real you could almost touch him. And he said, a warm feeling as though some divine presence was with me, came over me. I said, Mr. Wilson, you didn't answer my question. I said, I ask you if you have ever received Christ as your Savior. He just went, no, I never have. Just like that. And I said, well, that's your problem. I said, you've never received Christ. How can you have any assurance of salvation? You've never received Christ. And I said, it's late. I got to go. And I said, you know what to do. I got to go. And so I got up to leave. And he said, oh, wait a minute. He said, if I'm going to do it, you might as well be here. He said, just like that. You got to understand this guy. This guy was eccentric. I mean, He ran that school like a battleship, you know. I mean, every thing in its place, meticulous order and schedule. You could set your watch by the time that man picked up the newspaper out of his driveway. You know, he'd sit there and go, 10 seconds till the time I'm going to pick it up, you know, and go get it. I mean, this guy was an unusual man. And so he said, you might as well stay. I sat back down. He stood up, put his hands on his desk, and he looked right up to the ceiling, just like this. And he said, well, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day to forgive me of my sins. And I want him to come into my heart and give me the assurance of heaven. Oh, and God, you better make it work, because if it don't, I'm going to be very disillusioned. Amen. And he sat down. I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness. Those were his words. I never heard a more honest prayer of you. You see, you want assurance this morning? Be honest with God. Don't play games. We're not talking about, okay, you know, now lay me down to sleep, blah, 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 blah. We're not talking about little prayers. We're talking about being honest with God. The Bible says God looked down from heaven to see if he could find any that was righteous. He couldn't find any. And if you tell me this morning you're not a sinner, what you're really saying is God's a liar. If you tell me this morning you don't need a Savior, then the Lord Jesus says, well, I didn't come for the righteous, I came for sinners, so I didn't come for you. You must see yourself in need. You go out to a lake and you see a man swimming in the lake. You row up beside him and you say, hey guy, you better take a life jacket here, you're out in the middle of this lake. He says, I'm an Olympic swimmer, guy, get away from me. I'm practicing. I'm not worried about drowning, I'm an Olympic swimmer. You let that same guy in the middle of that lake get a cramp and start going down. You row out there to him and offer him a life jacket. He'll take it. Why? Because now there's a need. There's not a one of you in this auditorium this morning that will ever accept Christ unless you know you need him. It'll be foolishness to you. You say, well, I don't need that. I got my own religion. I got my own philosophy. I got my own way of thinking about this. But the Bible says, repent. Repent. What do you mean? Agree that God is right and you're wrong. Change your mind. Change your mind about who God is. Change your mind about who His Son is. Change your mind about what sin is. Change your mind about what salvation is. That's repentance. And agree with God. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Are you on assurance? Listen, you can walk out of that door today and have the absolute full confidence that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. Listen to the Word of God. This is the record that God has given to us, His Son. He that has the Son has life. Now, that's not hard to understand. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, I write to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You want to know that today? Take God at His word. Take God at His word. I heard a story one time about Alexander, or Napoleon, I believe it was, on a parade field. And all these men out there, and he was on his horse, and he dropped the reins, and the horse bolted. It just took off, boom, right across the parade field. Embarrassed as he was, all he could do was hang on to the horn, you know. And a common soldier, jumped out in front of the horse, grabbed the horse, stopped it, and very respectfully handed the reins back to Napoleon. Napoleon said, thank you, Captain. By that one word, making that common soldier a captain. Now, that soldier was quicker than you and I would have been. He said, of what regiment, sir? Napoleon said, of my guards, and he rode off on his horse. That guy threw his weapon down, marched right across the parade field, right over to the regiment of the guards, and the then captain of the regiment of the guards said, "What are you doing here?" "Common soldier," he said, "I'm the new captain of the guards." He said, "Man, you're mad. Get back in rank." That soldier turned to Napoleon, who was still on the parade field at that time. He said, "Excuse me, Captain." He said it. That captain said, "Excuse me. I did not realize that he had said it." God says, "He that has the Son has life." Somebody says, "Joe, you going to heaven?" "Absolutely, I'm going. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Nobody's more unlikely to be in heaven than me. I should never be in heaven, but I'm going." "How do you know?" "He said it." "Not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm anything. I'm a poor sinner, came to one Savior, the Lord Jesus." And God says, "You have my Son, you have life." Now you can have that this morning. Don't make it hard. Then the third category. Probably nobody here like that this morning. But the third category is a person who says, "Well, I'm not a Christian. And I don't really want to be a Christian. I didn't plan on being a Christian when I came here. I just kind of came here just to come because I don't generally come to places like this, but I've come and I'm here." And you know what? Be at ease. I'm not about to in any way embarrass you. So just relax. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I am going to say it is interesting to me how that God works through the circumstances of life to put us in certain places to hear certain things. You see, I wasn't always a Christian either. You got to remember that. For the first 25 years of my life, I spent it in prison. And you're wondering what I did as a baby to deserve that, right? The prison of sin and darkness. And one day when I received Christ, He came and tore the bars away and freed me from that prison. But you see, I was living in California, in North Hollywood, California, and I was traveling to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, this was my plan. I didn't even realize that there was a God. I believed in God. I think I did. But He wasn't anything to me. He wasn't in my life. I didn't think about Him or want to have anything to do with Him. But a total stranger in a small town in Alabama crossed my path that day and told me the message I'm giving to you. Said, "Joe, how'd you like to start over?" Wow. I'd say, "Well, I didn't plan to meet that fellow, and I didn't want to meet that man, but God had orchestrated it some way, somehow, to bring me a message. Maybe you have already heard something here this morning you didn't plan on hearing." Maybe you'd say, "Well, these people are not that bad. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into when I came." And the preacher, well, I mean, he's told a few funny stories, but he's telling me something I haven't heard about Christ. You see, we don't want you to join our church. We don't want your money. We're just saying to you that when you get to the time or point in your life that life is empty and miserable and has nothing, you have nothing left, you've tried it all, and you don't know what to do, would you consider the Lord Jesus? Remember this message. You can start over. Did you know God's in the life-changing business? If you want to start over, you could start over this morning. Christian, you can start over this morning. Religious person, if you don't have the assurance, you can have the assurance this morning. You can start over. And for the person that's not a Christian here this morning, you can have a brand new start. The Bible puts it like this. It says, if anyone is in Christ. Now, in Christ means that I have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me. And the Bible says, positionally speaking, when God looks down, He doesn't see me as a sinner over here separated from Him anymore. He sees me, positionally speaking, in Christ. Just like Noah went into the ark. When you believe God, accept Christ, you're put in Christ. Now, the Bible says if any man or anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Start over. I was in a hospital once and visiting a man, and I knew that he was under conviction. I knew that God was working with him, and so we shared with him the claims of Christ, and we walked out down the little hallway, went into the lobby, the sitting room, and I said to him, well, are you ready to receive Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, I think so. And I said, good. I said, let's get down on our knees right here and pray. He said, right here? I said, yeah, there's nobody else in here. Why don't we just get down on our knees right here? And I said, why don't you just tell God you want to be saved and that you want His Son as your Savior? He said, okay. So we got down on our knees, and he kept looking out to the door there, people walking by the hall. Here we are down there on our knees, you know. I said, don't worry about them. I said, they'll all give an answer for themselves. And so, okay. So he started to pray. Well, man, this guy never heard a guy pray like that. He just went praying all over the place. You know, I don't really even remember much of what he was saying. He must have prayed for 3 or 4 minutes. That's a long time when you're down on your knees, 3 or 4 minutes, you know. And finally he said, amen, you know. And I said, well, that was a good prayer, but do you want to receive Christ? You didn't do that yet, I said. You see, the point is, we can sidestep it. We can get close to it, and we can get religious, and we can say, oh, I believe in God, and I'd like to be good, and I'd like to go to heaven, and, you know, I want it. But you must receive it. You must receive it. And finally that man did. He said, God, I have no other options. You see, your prayer doesn't have to be long. Just honest. Just honest. Well, if you'd like to start over, you can do so. And in closing this morning, let me tell you that God is the kind of God that starts over. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, if you will remember that, He made a man and a woman, and He told them to enjoy the garden. He gave them one restriction. But, of course, they failed the test. And then God provided coats of skins for them. They were naked. And God provided coverings for them. And then God started over again with them. And so man then began a new relationship with God. God had provided for him. Well, that's in Genesis chapter 3. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, you know what the Bible says? Man was, his imagination was continually evil. I mean, here's two men, a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden, two people, and God had provided for them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, you got all these people and they're all wicked. Every one of them, except, you know the story of Noah, of course. And so Noah and six of his relatives, his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight of them went into the ark along with the animals. And God destroyed the rest of the world, and then God started over. A new start. That's in Genesis chapter 9. 8 people, a new start. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 11, all of the people from that new start has gathered themselves into one place, and they're building this great big tower to heaven. And God said, I told you to go into all the earth and replenish the earth. So God came down, destroyed the tower. He confused their languages. He judged them. And He started again. A new start. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 12, He calls a man by the name of Abram. Abraham, later his name would be changed too. And He says, Abram or Abraham, we're going to make a new start. We're going to have a people of God. Your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. And from your loins is going to come the Savior that I promised to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And now we have a new line and a new start, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. And then later we come along through that all of that Old Testament scene, and we come to the New Testament, and the Messiah comes on the scene, the Lord Jesus. Wonderful provision from God, and they killed Him. they crucified the Messiah. They rejected him. And he died and was buried and rose again from the dead, and God says, a new start. Now the Messiah has become the Savior, and the message is, accept the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, you and I live now in the age of what we call the church age or the age of grace. It began with the coming of the Holy Spirit when the resurrected Savior went to heaven. The Holy Spirit came, and we're in an age now called the age of grace. It's going to come to an end. And one day, the Lord Jesus, according to Revelation chapter 4, is going to say, come up here with me to all the Christians. The shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. And you know what the Bible says? Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the real Christians, they're going to meet Him. And then 7 years of tribulation on this earth. And God is going to turn His attention to Israel again. And God's wrath is going to be poured out on the nation again. And then at the end of that 7 years, the Lord Jesus is coming again to earth to establish His kingdom. We're going to have a new start. Hey, God is the God of beginnings. I mean, He starts over and over and over and over and over. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Because after the 1,000 years of Christ ruling on this earth, and after the final event in time, which we read about in chapter 20 just last week in one of our meetings, the great white throne judgment, we read this in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, here we go, behold, I make all things new. God started over and over and over and over. And He provided for man, and man failed. And He provided, and man failed. And He provided, and man failed. And man failed, and He started again and again and again. But you know what? There's a limit. There's going to come a time when God won't start anew. This is the last time God is going to start over. And He said, I make all things new. Now, don't worry about that little baby. Does everybody look at this little baby over here? You see this little baby? That's a real live little baby. And it's giving its mother a little bit of embarrassment right now, but it's not affecting me. Now, take a good look. Everybody got it? Good. Now, look back at me just for a minute. How would you like to start over this morning? You can do that this morning by putting your faith in Christ, by trusting Him. And I'm going to ask you to do that in the quietness of this moment. Just bow your heads with me just for a moment. Father, if there is a Christian here this morning that knows they are not walking with You, I pray the Spirit of God would give them the courage to admit it, to forsake it, to confess it, and to get on with their walk with Christ. If there's someone that wants to be saved, they think they are, maybe they have done something, they're not sure. Father, would You just help them this morning take God at His word? He that has the Son has life. And Father, for the one that may be among us that's not a Christian, would you stir their heart this morning some way, somehow, and encourage them that time is running out. We don't know when we may die. We don't know when Christ may come. But we know that today they can have a new start if they want it. Dismiss these people with your blessing. Bring us together again here this evening for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you very much. May God bless you. We'll see you tonight.